With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network. Welcome back to Gold Derby. Christopher Rosen. I'm joined by Joyce. And Joyce, we're getting our drama on today. It's the drama Emmys categories.
When are we not dramatic, though?
Never. Never not dramatic. But now it's like dramatic about drama. That's like a TNT logo or slogan. We are dramatic drama. About drama.
Yeah,
we know drama, but now it's we are dramatic about drama. Now that it's part of Warner Brothers Discovery, I guess. Joyce, what a category. These are all our favorite shows, maybe. At least one of them, Succession.
Maybe.
Succession is our favorite show. And then there's a lot of other shows that are good.
So just Succession's going to win, right? Yeah.
Well, I have it winning, certainly. We haven't talked about this category in a long time. We did talk about the Succession soundtrack last week. That was one for us. You know how George Clooney used to do one for me and one for them? One for us.
That was for us, yeah.
That was for us.
Sure. Yeah, no one else cared.
Nobody else cared. Not even with the Doctor Strange review in the end. But no, Succession remains in first for me. Obviously, it's going to get nominated. I saw Jesse Armstrong was around this weekend talking about how they're already going through on season 4. I know we're talking about season 3, which is wonderful. But I'm really already psyched for season 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said like they're almost done writing it. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Succession and Squid Game and Ozark are the top three. Remember when I didn't have Ozark in?
Yeah, for what, like 10 seconds until I slapped some sense.
Kind of be a contrarian.
not literally slap you.
When you take contrarianism too far. But those are the top three on our odds. Seemingly the top three, I think, as well. I have all three getting in.
Oh, you do. So you're not vacillating on Ozark anymore.
No, I'm all in on Ozark. What a show.
Yeah, it concluded its run. Its final 7 episodes were released April 29th.
Yes.
I think it was it was not divisive like a Killing Eve finale.
It wasn't divisive, but as someone who's not like the biggest, I'm not like in the Ozark Reddits, let's say, Joyce.
Yes.
Not following
the
fandom. It just seemed a little muted, I thought, but I think people liked it.
Yeah, I think generally it was like, yeah, that made sense. Like, yeah, I know what happened. Right. And like, I read about it and I was like, cause I saw some reactions like the day of, so I was like, I'll just like read a recap and see what happens. I'm like, that makes sense for the show.
Yeah.
Like the ending. But I can understand why some fans might not like it. Just another showcase for Julia Garner. I feel like this season overall, because like its first 7 episodes were released in January. Also, a kind of surprise because when they announced that they were going to split the last season like 2 years ago, that we assumed they will do it over 2 Emmy cycles like Better Call Saul is doing, but they're just throwing them all in one here. Julia Garner has a lot of options for tapes if tapes matter, so she might win her third. But I feel like the reception to season 3 of Ozark was higher or better than season 4 overall.
I think that's right, but I still think it's getting in.
Yes, it's getting nominated.
Next up in our odds would be Better Call Saul. I have that in. Sure.
Yes. I just wanted to win anything. It doesn't need to be drama series, just like sound mixing.
It might. Maybe.
It hasn't won anything yet.
And then Yellowstone. These are the top 5 in our odds. Similarly, the top 5 in my picks. I also have Yellowstone.
I have Yellowstone too.
And then the next up would be Yellow Jackets, another yellow, which I actually knocked out, Joyce, in my opinion.
I do not have Yellow Jackets. I chose between the yellows, and I chose Yellowstone.
I chose Severance or Stranger Things, I'm sorry, for my my yellow instead of Yellow Jackets. Because the next two are Severance and Euphoria, both of which I have in. And then I have Stranger Things in instead of Yellow Jackets.
My last three are Severance, Stranger Things, and Bridgerton. So I have four Netflix shows.
Wow.
I know. That's like, yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I just needed another show.
So this is where you get like, this is why drama is a lot of fun, I would say, because there are, let's say, five shows, like we mentioned there, that are seemingly locks, right? I feel like if Succession, Squid Game, Ozark, Better Call Saul, and Yellowstone, one of those does not get in, it would be a tremendous surprise.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say Yellowstone is a lock, but it looks good after the SAG nomination.
Yeah, I think that's in. I don't know. I would be very surprised if it didn't get in, personally. But after that, we have three more slots in our picks here, and I can make a case for a number of shows. So Euphoria, I love. The second season is its best. It was much better. I thought a level up from the first. I think HBO is really pushing it because I think they could get in here, and why not? I'm a big fan. Severance, we've talked about on the show. Great show. Great twist ending. People really responded to it. Of all the Apple shows that have come out this cycle that are a drama, I think it's like the one that really popped of like Pachinko.
Yeah, it like sucked all the air out of Pachinko's balloon.
It did.
Like I think Pachinko's the better show, but it like Pachinko after like the first week when it was released, it was like total lack of buzz. And it just ended last week, right? Mm-hmm. And it's coming back for season two. Great show. But
the thing I've noticed with Severance too is that because there was so much enthusiasm around the finale, which aired, I think maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago at this point, people are still catching up with, people are still catching up with it.
Well, yeah, we talked about this last time. Like, I think Severance aired at the right time because we have a glut of premieres now. We're now in May, but like in late April and May, there's a bunch of premieres. So that might make it hard for people to start watching or to catch up. But like something like Severance, it aired from February to April. So you already have people who watched it while it aired. And then like the people who didn't watch it, they could just hear word of mouth from like their friends, be like, oh my God, I love the show, like watch it. So they might prioritize that over a new show that's debuting right now.
Right. And I think that's happening like anecdotally in my real life. I have people who have been like, oh, we just finished Severance. It's really great. So I think
I still don't know anyone else who's watched it. So
I know multiple people like a regular person. Literally met somebody this weekend who was like, oh, we just finished Severance. It was really cool. I was like, look at that. Great. And then I have Stranger Things just holding strong there. It premieres in a couple of weeks. They're doing like a red carpet premiere, I think later this week. So maybe they'll send out screeners. I have not received Netflix screeners yet for Stranger Things. I talked to somebody who had seen the first couple of episodes, and I'm not speaking out of turn here because they just said it was good. That's all I heard.
Wow, like, hey,
it's Stranger Things. It's good. Which, no kidding. I'm a fan of the show. So so we'll see if they send them out and build up the buzz.
So that means you're not going to predict it.
No, I have it in.
You weren't going to predict Ozark, so.
No, that's true. But I can make a case. You have Bridgerton in. Make your case for Bridgerton, Joyce. One of the most popular shows ever on Netflix.
Well, you know, there's an eighth spot.
Yes.
So I needed a show. I was nominated last year.
Yeah.
And it has one of the shows with like the highest visibility because it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like we know it's being watched and it's an unlimited ballot. So if they're struggling to fill out their ballot, it's not like they have, you know, they need to name it, but I feel like people feel pressured when it's unlimited to name as many as possible. So they might just put it in there because they watched it and they enjoyed it.
And I will say so this.
Like Elizabeth Moss said, Bridgerton is her guilty pleasure.
I think that's fair. I could also think that this is what I was thinking about season two is that's a show that I feel like people were probably like ready to be like, oh, it's not any good anymore. Right. Or like the
Reggae John Page is not back.
Right. he's not back. And like, it had so much build up buzz and people really, really loved the first season. And then the second season is going to be a disappointment, but I didn't get that sense at all. I felt like people were like, yeah, it was good. So I definitely think it could get in. There's no, it's just a stronger field, I feel like, this time around.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, what's going to fill up. I think you can say, I think everyone probably has the same top six or seven. So let's say you have the same top six. So it's like, what are you going to put in the last two? I think a lot of people have Stranger Things. And then, you know, like last year's slate, this was last year. Like most of these are not back. The Crown.
Right.
The Boys.
Yes.
Bridgerton's coming back or is eligible. The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Lovecraft Country.
Mm-mm.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Pose.
No.
And This Is Us, eligible for its final season. So is it going to come back one final time?
I kind of think maybe. If I was going to switch one of these out, actually, I would put This Is Us in. I think if Stranger Things, or if I die on the hill of euphoria and just die and then just like move it on, I would put This Is Us in. I feel like the enthusiasm for the final season has been pretty high, and it's a former, obviously, fave here. And why not? So I think it can get in.
Yeah, because it fell out 2 years ago when the field was stronger, and it made it in back last year when it was weaker, and now the field is stronger again.
Correct. But I still think that for the final season, there might be a little bit of a halo of like, we really do love this show.
Yeah. And it's a good final season. So it's I think, you know, if it was on Netflix, I would feel better about it, but you know, again, I don't know if Netflix can get four spots.
The other thing is, it would be the only broadcast show in here, right? Unless you want to call like...
Yeah, it's only a broadcast show.
So I think that matters, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, they've had years without broadcast shows.
I guess. Next, so those are like the main ones. The next ones, I mean, looking at the list here, Killing Eve, not going to put that one in, Joyce. Not sure the final season made the cut.
Well, you know, season three made the cut, and that was better well received than season four. So I guess that had that going for it. It kind of feels like they're a little behind in catching up to it.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't have it in. So
one of the shows that just ended, actually, we're recording this on Monday, and it's last night, Joyce, my beloved Winning Time in here.
But you're not predicting it.
I'm not predicting it, but I really, really want to. I quite enjoyed the season. I thought it was so well done. And I just like really enjoyed the last two episodes, and the finale, I thought, really stuck the landing. So
I thought the finale was good. And yeah, I really like the back half of the season when the basketball actually started.
So I'll say this, watching last night, we joked about when we talked about how it's like the Magic Johnson show, right? Or like too much magic, I think was your dig on it. But I was watching last night in the finale, and I was like, that it's all paying off. I mean, like maybe you don't need as much. And certainly like we've talked about, a lot of these shows would have been movies maybe, or like, are just a little long in the tooth in the beginning before they get to like the end. This is not just a Winning Time thing. It's like, The Dropout had this issue, I feel like, where it's like three episodes of setup before you even get to like the meat of the story. And maybe that's like the first 20 minutes of a movie, if it was a movie. That said, I was like, all the stuff they did with Magic in the beginning, like really paid off, I think, for his arc at the end. I like really loved where they left Magic off. And I think it really paid off to have like so much, like I was invested in the character of Magic Johnson beyond just him being Magic Johnson, someone I'm supposed to be invested in. Like, I was like, I like really like am into this character.
I think like the thing for me is like, I know we're eventually going to get to his diagnosis, which is like 11 years away.
They're not going to get, I don't know. I know they opened the season with that, and I'll be curious to see what they do for season two. I read an interview with John C. Reilly in New York Magazine this weekend, and he was like, talked about it, and he's like, I'm only contracted for two seasons. And he didn't want to like speculate if he would be back for like more than that. And I'll be curious to see where they go with the show. Like, there's no guarantee. I
mean, they can do a season, like a basketball season.
They could, but then the next season is like, so like this is a spoiler alert for real life.
Spoiler alert.
The Lakers
not
win.
A spoiler alert when it happened in real life.
The Lakers win in the 81.
I know we need like the Riley era.
Right. Well, they come back. So that doesn't even start. The thing is like, so 81 season. That's what we just saw. So then 81-82 season, or is that right? What were these fine? No, this is going to be
80-81.
This is 80-81, right? Yeah. So this next, this was 79.
Oh, no, it was 79-80.
Yeah. So this is the 80 finals. So the 80-81 season. Scintillating stuff here. I'm really on top of this. I'm glad I like jotted this down. The 80-81 season, Lakers lose, and Magic gets into a tiff with Paul Westhead choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And gets him fired, basically, though it doesn't really get him fired. But like, then that's, and then they make Jerry West and Pat Riley the coaches before Pat Riley takes over solo. And so you could do that as a season, but I feel like that's not a full season, especially because they don't go all the way. So do you pick back up? Like,
I mean, you don't need to end every season with them winning.
No, but you don't need to do it. I guess I would say you don't need to do every Lakers season. So like,
it just depends on like what they want to do. Cause it's obvious even though this didn't like blow up when it premiered, it was obviously going to get renewed.
Right.
Cause they have a long-term plan in mind. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do going forward.
Actually, I apologize for this choice. The Westhead was fired. This, so 80-81 Westhead leads them off and they lose in the playoffs. And then 81-82, Magic gets him fired basically. And Pat Riley takes over and then they actually win again in the finals. So that would be like,
we also have to get to Pat Riley promising a three-peat.
So do you come back like with, do you skip the 88, like you could skip the next season and come back for 81-82, or do you just like take like start? I don't even know. They could go in a lot of different ways. I'll be curious to see what they do, but I don't think it's going to be like a 10-year show.
No. But like they, like, I think they're definitely, whenever it ends, they're going to come back to his diagnosis. Like that's how it opens.
I think so. I'm looking here and it's like, the thing that's wild is, so they don't even play like this, the finale, not to make this all about winning time, Joyce, but since I just watched it, the finale ends with like the idea that Magic and Bird are going to have to meet up. Right. Like that's the idea. And they don't actually meet in the finals until I think 83-84. No, 84-85, I guess. 84, they ended up. 83-84, they play the Lakers. I mean, the Celtics. So that's like 2 years from now, 3 years from now in the show.
I mean, you don't need to just constantly just having them face off on the court. So
I guess not, but I felt like the show, this final episode was like setting it up. Maybe they just jump ahead to like halfway through the decade or something.
I don't think that you need to like just show them winning all the time. Like it's like,
no.
I think showing them losing and like all the, like, that's the whole point, right? Showing the behind the scenes machinations.
Right.
Like, I don't think it matters like when they win or lose. Like they just happen to have won this time, like first time out.
Right. Yeah. The 84 finals. I don't know. We'll see. I was very into it, but I don't have it in. This is a long way of saying I don't have an in choice.
I can't believe we just went through the Wikipedia page
and still made so many mistakes. I apologize. I was just like, I get confused with the NBA season. Cause it's a little like the Oscars where it's like 84 finals is for the 83 season. Stuff, so.
Well, cause you have to refer to the year it, I mean, well, no, basketball is still different because it overlaps. But like for the Oscars, like Coda is not the best picture of 2022. The year is not over. It's the best picture of 2021.
Right. It's the best picture of 21 at the 2022 Oscars.
Yeah. But like casuals, they'll just be Googling 2022 Oscars because they don't think about this stuff.
Right. If only I was a casual choice. What else here? Anything else? I mean, there's a lot of shows. Like you said, your beloved Loki, not in here. I don't have it in.
I know, poor Loki. I don't have it in. It's sad. Pachinko, the morning show, it didn't get in last time, despite 5 acting nominations. I don't think it's getting in this time either. I think Severance has all the Apple heat.
It kind of does.
I also have a soft spot for Tokyo Vice.
That could get in.
Don't have that getting in.
No, it's a long shot, but it was pretty well received. It just feels like HBO has so many shows. I wonder if it's like got enough buzz to like keep all of them in the conversation, I guess.
I think its best shot is probably Michael Mann for directing. But it's a great show and it's fun. I want it to get renewed. So it's the best 1999 show. It takes place in 1999. So
a great year, Joyce, as we'll talk about probably. I think we have talked about 99 movies, haven't we? Or no, not yet.
No.
Next when we bring that back.
An iconic year in pop culture, really.
When we bring that back, we can do it. It'll be a lot of fun. The other one on here, we haven't seen it. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is there a world where that ends up being such a juggernaut that it ends up generating a lot of Emmy buzz?
No.
Mandalorian was represented, right? So
I feel like it's probably a little too late.
Yeah, it comes out. Well, it comes out the same time as Stranger Things, though. It's the same day.
But Stranger Things is established. And
it's the full
season. I know, like, this is, it's like Star Wars, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of shows at this time. I do want to see, like, once nominations come out, to see, like, the ratio between, like, old shows, like, how much they return to the old guard versus how well these, like, late spring shows do. Right. Maybe that will discourage people from just backloading their premieres at this time of the year, because it doesn't help anyone. Like, we can't catch up. Like, we can't keep up with these shows.
It's super unfortunate, because I feel like there's a lot of shows that are just, like, kind of...
and we all watch different things, so... Yeah.
If their reason to exist or not exist, but like if their driving force was like get these Emmy nominations, they're gonna not. There's too much. There's stuff getting lost because like we said, there's so many big shows coming back, like Stranger Things and stuff. I don't know. It's a.
Yeah. So I wonder if like the earlier stuff, like from last summer and the fall and early winter, will perform better because they have more time, even though they weren't huge hits, but they had more time to develop. A quiet following.
Yeah. I'm just scrolling down the list, Joyce. We have like stuff again, like that people are really enjoying, like Outer Range, Josh Brolin, an Amazon show. I mean, sure. Like The Book of Boba Fett, Halo, The Good Doctor. These are all shows. Dexter.
The Good Doctor is still on. Yes.
I know. I mean, just like, these are shows that exist, I guess. This is the busy thing. Let's do some of the categories, Joyce. So acting, actress, let's start with, because it's first up here. Euphoria's Zendaya versus Ozark's Laura Linney. Joyce, who you got if they're right now at the top?
I still have Laura in first. The change I made recently was I put in Mandy Moore.
I put in Mandy Moore too. Way to go. I still have Jodie Comer in there.
I unfortunately dropped Sandra. Very, very sad to do that, but I had to drop someone.
This feels like pretty static for our list. That it's Laura Linney, Zendaya, Melanie Lynskey for Yellow Jackets, third in the odds. Definitely has a lot of critical and film Twitter support, even though this is TV. I feel like she's got a lot of juice, I think,
of people just want her to do well because they like her as a person, right, as do I, and they want to see her successful. And I think that was part of her Critics' Choice win as well.
Yeah.
I could see her getting snubbed though. Like
I could too, but the reason I don't have her getting snubbed is I just am like, I don't know who else gets in here.
Like I have her in.
Not the strongest category or the deepest category, let's say, because I have Jennifer Aniston and I have Jodie Comer, Mandy Moore. I mean, after that, it's like a lot of very talented actors, but nobody I think could get in over Melanie Lynskey. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's fair. And Mandy is doing her best work, mm-hmm. probably, you could argue, as, you know, Rebecca prepares to die probably in the finale.
Sure. Going to get reunited though, in like a heavenly spot with probably, with Milo, I would guess.
Will the crock pot be there?
Maybe they're making crock pot dinner. That'd be fun. That would be like a cheeky way to end it. No.
Yeah. It's like, so, I mean, she didn't get in for season two and then she got nominated for season three. So they nominated her before is my mm-hmm. point. So she's not like a Justin Hartley, poor Justin, who has not been nominated yet. So they could go back to her, but it's I don't know how many people are still watching it. I feel like the fan base for This Is Us is really solid, but I don't know like how like the how wide that fanfare
I actually think it might be pretty wide. I feel like it's like a very popular show still.
I think it is, but it's, you know, I feel like they just like they like to just like name check Sterling.
Right.
And like Chris Sullivan.
One person I want to bring up for you is Simone Ashley for Bridgerton. Any shot, do you think?
I don't have any Bridgerton actors getting in.
No, same.
Yeah.
But would she pop? Could you see that happening?
Probably not. I don't think there's like a reggae John situation.
There isn't, but I feel like of all the people, like she's had the most media attention for the season. And so like, I wonder if that helps. You're saying,
yeah, no. I don't. Yeah.
You're saying, Chris, you're a dummy. It's not going to help.
I feel like I've seen more things for Jonathan Bailey. So,
let's go to actor, our favorite, because this is just where we get to talk about Jeremy Strong and Brian Cox, the Kings. Still got them in 1-2. I have Brian Cox winning. I do still. But I have them both getting nominated.
I have Jeremy in first.
Just incredible. Again, not to go back to the soundtrack because that was such a hit, but listening to the sound, the score really makes you appreciate how awesome Succession is.
It's the best. And yeah, we have to get Nicholas Britell his Emmy for the score this time.
Absolutely. I have Lee Chung Jae in there as well, who has beat Brian and Jeremy all through the winter, it seems. So perhaps should be in first, but I have not gone there. I'm not doing it yet.
Yeah, no, I have like, yeah, I think most people have like the same top four, and then it's like Jason Bateman.
Yeah, I have Jason Bateman in there for four, and then I have Sterling K. Brown and Kevin Costner. No Bob Odenkirk. That's my six.
I have Bob. I have to support Bob to make a return. So
I'm actually going to drop Kevin Costner right now, and I'm putting in John C. Reilly for winning time.
Didn't you have him in there at some point?
I did. And I'm just putting him back.
Okay. I have Bob and I have Adam Scott, but I'm like considering dropping Adam for Sterling because I feel weird predicting Mandy as my only This Is Us actor.
So I have Sterling just because it's Sterling Brown, basically. That's it. I mean, really great.
Yeah. He's won 3 Emmys. He's like the Meryl of the Emmys.
Yep.
He won for narrating last year.
And then I just put John C. Reilly. And here's my take for John C. Reilly. Again, the visibility of the performance is pretty high, like not just because of the New York Mag profile, but I feel like he's been like the focal point of the show. And he's awesome in it. He's just so good. I think it's a great performance. He actually has a lot of drama in it. Great actor. I could see him getting in.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, feel like he would have a better shot if the show were bigger. Like I know it's being watched and then its ratings have gone up every week, but I don't think it's kind of like pierced the zeitgeist in a way where you would like feel confident predicting him.
I think it's getting better and better though. I think the buzz was,
well, yeah, like I think with like the ratings going up, it's like clear people are watching it.
Right.
And but so it's, I think, not that like helps. A huge hit.
I guess. I mean, it's a growing hit.
Well, it's also over now too. So.
Which I think helps. I guess the reason, I mean, Bob Odenkirk snubbed here previously, don't have him in, would love to see him get in, but that's basically it. I'm just like, they're not going to nominate him for whatever reason. That's my thinking.
They're not, like, if he gets in, I don't think he's winning.
No.
Like, Better Call Saul doesn't win anything. So, but I want him to get back in, and I'm behind this season. I've only seen the first 2 episodes, but I know what happened in the third. So sad. Yeah, I mean, they have one more shot with him next year because part 2 is released in July. So,
and then Costner for Yellowstone, I wanted to put in, but I'm also like, I think the show is the star here, and maybe Kelly Reilly, but not as much Costner, even though he's like the face of the show.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, like the show is kind of, it's sort of like his baby, even though he didn't create it, obviously, it's like Taylor Sheridan, but he's like so like associated with like ranch life.
And right. Cowboy. It feels like he's a cowboy. He's got, yeah, like the same, like, Elliot. Yeah, thing Kevin where it's like, he's a cowboy now.
Yeah. But maybe it's like one of Yeah, I do have Kelly Riley in supporting, like very much a scene stealing role. And yeah, I think like Kevin just kind of holds down the fort well as the lead, like very reliable.
Is that a rancher reference? I feel like they hold down the fort choice.
Is like a fort a cowboy term? I don't even know. No, probably not. But like maybe it's like one of those shows where like the supporting characters are more prominent than like the lead, or just their characterizations are like more interesting than the lead. Not that he's like bad, but he's just, you know, he's there holding down the fort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. So I took him out for John C. Reilly, who's got a big part. I feel like the thing I like about the Reilly performance is that he is very humorous because he's so good at the comedy, but I think he really gets that. He talked about this in the interview, but like Adam McKay and him and Will Ferrell, they all love going and looking at like the over the top masculinity of like 70s, 80s men, right? And like Men in Power. That's like the whole spoof of Anchorman. And I think he does that here really well with some good shade. Like, I love the nuance of the performance. I actually think it's like, even though it's like big and flamboyant with the hair and stuff, he does do a lot of like interesting things. And in the character, the way he's written and the way John plays him, kind of zigs when you think he's going to zag a little, and they don't like actually let him off the hook. Like there, I think there's a world where the show where it's like, he means well, he just doesn't really get it. Right. And I think the show like kind of avoid, like he's, it's not like the most flattering portrayal of Dr. Jerry Buss, I would say.
No. And he had a lot of good stuff at the end of the season with his mom.
Yes. Too.
Yeah. Sally Field. So
I'll put him in.
Yeah.
Supporting actress choice. I have Julia Garner in for Ozark winning. Apologies to our beloved Sarah Snook, who I have in second at the moment.
I mean, I think Julia is winning too, but I have Sarah in first because I have the supporter.
So. And I have Young Ho Yun for Squid Game, J. Smith Cameron for Succession. I do have Rhea Seehorn still in for Better Call Saul. I'm going there.
I still have Rhea too. I don't know if I'll have her on July 12th, but again, I have to support her for now.
So you and I both have Kelly Riley, and that's funny because she's kind of like down on the lower end of our odds here, or at least on the list. I have Sydney Sweeney in for Euphoria, who I interviewed, so you know it's good.
So that's right.
But it's legitimately awesome. She's so awesome on the show. It's such a great performance, and I really do hope.
She can win, like, you know, they should create a category for best meme.
Well, it's not just the memes. She's so histrionic, I feel like, and like really, really gets that character so well. I just think that she actually could get in because it is such a big performance. She's doing so much. It's like a scene stealing performance, and she had the best memes. So that helps you keep the visibility up, I feel like. Kelly Riley, and then I have Christina Ricci for Yellow Jackets back in the proper category.
I have Christina into, I love that she was just like, no showtime. I'm going supporting.
Good for her. It's a definitely supporting performance.
Yeah. I mean, it's sometimes I felt like the younger actresses were more lead than the adults.
Well, it is definitely, I think that's true because I think so much of it is the younger actresses, but I mean, Christina's definitely supporting, I think.
Yeah. Cause she comes in, like Misty comes in as an adult, like later too.
And it's just a support. Yeah. It feels like a supporting performance to me because she's coming in so hot. She's like she's like a reliever, basically. She's coming in throwing like 95 miles an hour and just burning it up and then just like leaving.
They have to call her for everything. Like she's kind of like separated from the rest of them, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I have her in. I think we have, oh no, I have Kim Ji-Rung for Squid Game. So that's, I have double Squid Game.
Yeah. You don't have Sydney Sweeney, I guess.
No, I do not have Sydney Sweeney.
To your detriment. She's awesome. You should think about putting her in, but it's okay.
You're just in the tank for Euphoria.
I really am. It's so good. It's one of my favorite shows. I say this about all the shows, but they're all really good. There's a lot of good shows.
I'm only in the tank for Succession.
I'm in the tank for Succession, Euphoria, Winning Time.
And then I support like Better Call Saul just because I wanted to win. I wanted to be called an Emmy winning show before it ends.
And I'm in the tank for all my limited faves, like Super Pumped and We Crashed.
I dropped Yoo Jung Yoon for Christina just because, like I said, I feel like there's not a lot of hype for Pachinko, even though it's great.
Right.
And she's great on it. So
some interesting names here that are on down the list. Sally Field for Winning Time, we actually talked about. It seems insane, but I'm also like, maybe she's really got a lot to do in the last episode, second to last episode at least. So
yeah, she gets to die. So,
and it's like a pretty emotional episode. I don't think it'll happen, but I'm like, it is Sally Field, so I don't want to like just completely write her off. I think it was another actor in that same part, even though it's a good performance. Like if it was somebody named like Sally Mield, let's say, I don't know, but I don't think she would have gotten in. I think it is a lot of name recognition on that, but I could see it happening if the show is embraced at least.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the only time they can honor her for this performance.
Correct.
Or in this category, at least. If I guess they could bring her back as a guest or something.
Yeah. Flashbacks. The other one I want, Millie Bobby Brown for Stranger Things. I don't have in, it depends. I don't know what the season's going to be like for 11.
Yeah. I don't have any Stranger Things actors either. So that's my problem too. Cause I don't have David Harbour in.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it depends. We don't know what the show is. I mean, the way the last season
ended. Well, yeah, I heard it was good.
Well, I've heard it was good. But the way the last season ended, Millie Bobby Brown is away. It's separated from the main group. And then, like, David Harbour's in a Russian prison camp. Sheriff Hopper. So, who knows? They could be not in it, you know. And it split. The season split into two halves. So, maybe, like, it's possible that the early episodes here will not be as heavily focused on Eleven or David Harbour. I don't know.
I mean, she also hasn't been nominated in a while anyway, so.
Right. How about Sophia DiMartino for Loki choice? Make the case, yeah. Even though it's not going to happen. She's so good, though.
I mean, the acting nominations for Loki I would want are Richard E. Grant, or like the most probable, like Richard E. Grant in Guest.
Which I think could happen.
Yeah. So it's just, it's too tough break in drama.
It's just too crowded. And then supporting actor Joyce in drama. Just all our Succession buds.
I still have all four guys.
I have all four guys in two. And then I have John Turturro for Severance. I think he's going to get in. I feel like that's a showy performance and mm-hmm. a beloved actor. And I think if the show hits, he'll be the one that hits even more than Adam Scott, honestly.
Yeah. Like the more I've thought about it, even though the only Severance acting nomination I have right now is Adam, like I've thought about dropping Adam for Sterling and then putting in John Turturro.
Do it.
I think like, yeah, the finale is a great performance from him. The good episode, like overall we've talked about, but just everything he does in that. And I think we've talked about like how it feels like he's like carrying the load of like that relationship between him and Christopher Walken,
yeah.
Who's also in this category, but I will not be predicting him. I don't think.
No, I have the four Succession guys. I have Turturro. I have Billy Crudup for Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two Better Call Sauls, Giancarlo Esposito and Jonathan Banks.
So you don't have any Squid Game. I have Ouyang Su for Squid Game. Yeah. yeah, I still have my Better Call Saul guys. Only feel good about Giancarlo since they just love nominating him for anything these days. And they dropped Jonathan Banks last time. But again, I have to support them for now.
I had Eric Dane in there for a while. And again, another person I interviewed for Euphoria. I love his performance on Euphoria. I just am not sure it's going to be sticky enough when compared to like the Better Call Saul guys and the Succession guys. And you have all these different major shows plus Squid Game. I don't know. So I don't have him in.
Yeah, I think this could be a category dominated by like two shows.
Very easily. Yeah.
And by that I mean Succession and Squid Game, like not
so let's talk Succession here. So we both have Kieran winning, I'd imagine.
I do have Kieran winning, yes.
So Matthew McFadden second in our odds, won at the BAFTAs this weekend. Is that right, Joyce? I sent you that tweet.
Yes, yes. But you did not watch his speech or his non-speech.
I didn't watch his non-speech, no.
It was Jesse Armstrong's
speech.
Yes.
So Do you think he can win? We've talked about this as like, he's probably, it's the best performance on the show. I would say, no offense to Kieran, just Matthew McFadyen. And this was like his season. I would say Tom like dominated this season, had like the best dramatic stuff, really great finale. Can he win, basically?
Yes.
Do you think he will win?
And I had him winning for a while, or like in my mind, I had him winning until like Kieran's incredible speech, A Critic's Choice,
was really great.
And I mean, like, it was like obvious Kieran was winning that at Critic's Choice, but I think I've made this analogy here, like on one of these episodes, but Kieran feels like the Jean Smart to Matthew McFadyen's Julianne Nicholson. Because like for Mayor of Easttown, because right. Like Kieran and Jean play like the more broad appealing characters where like casuals can like latch onto them. They have like funnier moments, like one-liners, zingers, and everything. And Julianne and Matthew, they have maybe more dramatic material that pays off at the end throughout the season. So you really have to pay attention, especially in the finale for both of them.
Right.
Yeah. And I've always felt like I never predicted Matthew to get in at SAG in their one category for drama actor, but I always predicted Kieran just because SAG is very mainstream
right.
and broad and basic. And like he got in with Jeremy and Brian, you know? And you know, he had the dick pic episode. Yeah.
Great episode.
Yeah. I mean, I love Kieran and I'll be very happy with Kieran winning. But I've always felt like Matthew's performance, like even back in like season two, like in which he was also great. Like I've always felt like his performance is the type that only the Emmys would recognize. And he'll maybe have a tougher time like breaking through at other places or like in terms of wins. Because like his co-stars have like flashier performances and stuff. But I think like the actors or like the acting branch could really appreciate his performance.
I tell you what, you've convinced me just talking about it. I just moved into first. I'm sorry.
Because of my Jean Smart analogy. Yes,
I think you're right. I think he's going to win. I do think he's going to win. If you just look at the season, beyond like everything else, his performance is like the standout performance and had so many moments that I think people
like remember. When he's like afraid to go to jail, like prison,
and like Kieran guy. It's amazing in the show, absolutely incredible performance, and actually does a lot of nuanced stuff I think this season, because I thought it was a great Roman season as well. But I do think it's broadly comic more so than Tom. And I think that maybe is going to be a demerit on his like a potential win for some people. Like, well, it's just funny. And he's also, I think his public, like you mentioned his speech at the Critics' Choice Awards, there's at least a non-zero chance that people are like he's not that much different from Roman, right? Like he's not like exactly.
Well, I mean, people have always said that about all of them.
And at the same time, though, Tom, like Matthew McFadyen is not like Tom, I don't think. He's a different, at least he's British. So you at least have that aspect of it.
Well, he has an accent.
He has an accent. Same with Sarah Snook, really, right? Like they're a little different than their characters. Whereas Jeremy, I think, is seen as like very much the Kendall of it all. And
Kieran he's very intense.
Yeah.
You know, they could just vote split and Billy can win again.
I could see that happening. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, do you think like Billy will be the one benefiting again? Are they just going to go back to the morning show?
I don't think they will, only because I feel like the buzz on the morning show is like very, very quiet.
Yeah, but it is very actor friendly. A lot of speeches and yelling and scenery.
And he had a good season. Billy, mm-hmm. like for sure. I don't know. I'm not going to do it. I'm not switching him in. Anything else, Joyce, on the drama categories here?
I don't know. I'm just like scrolling down the rest of this. Yeah. Chris Sullivan. We're probably underestimating him because
I wouldn't be surprised if we are, but
place. We've never predicted a nomination for him for his past two.
So. Yep. I'm not putting him in.
I know. Adrian Brody, who I love on Winning Time.
He's really good. And again, another actor on the show who you, in the beginning, you're like, why is Adrian Brody on this? And then by the end, it's like, he's awesome. I thought
that was good casting for Pat Riley.
It was great. It's great casting for Pat Riley. And I love, again, you watch, you know, the show is just showing the rise of the Lakers dynasty. And specifically, like, obviously, Pat Riley plays such a huge factor in that. And watching him go from like a meek, like, loser into like by the end of the season just being Pat Riley is really, it's a very impressive transformation, I think, honestly. And he's overpowering Siegel's Paul Westhead in the finale. I feel
like. I just love their relationship and their bromance, like that like shower scene.
It's really great. I gotta say, like, I was like watching the show, one of the things I really liked about it is, I mean, Adrian Brody is not someone who is lacking a work, right? We've seen him in so many things, including Succession, where he was awesome guest actor FYC for that performance for Josh Aronson. But Siegel, I have not seen a lot of things lately, right? Like, there was a time where he was in everything and he was so popular.
Well, yeah, well, making movies and Muppets. Yeah. Yes.
But now I'm like, he hasn't really done a lot in a long time, or at least brought like,
yeah, he had that show on AMC a couple years ago with Sally Field that he right. created. Yeah.
And he had a movie on Netflix recently, but it's nothing that's like been like a mate. It's not like a Muppets level or whatever, you know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall type, like big deal. This was like a big deal, this show. And like, it's great. I just like Jason Segel. I think he's so fun. He's like a good actor. It's fun watching him, play Paul West.
I just yeah. think it's like, I always like liked him on Freaks and Geeks and How I Met Your Mother. So, and he's good at drama. A lot of comedians, breaking news, a lot of comedians are good at drama.
What a guest.
I know.
Who could have guessed?
I know.
Joyce, anything else here before we wrap up? Any Marvel? I want to talk a little bit about Doctor Strange again? We could spoil it.
Again. Oh yeah, it's out. Yeah. So we could talk about the spoilers.
Sure. What'd you think? Sure.
Yeah. It's out. Everyone has seen it. So
everyone has seen it. They do a multiverse of madness, as the title suggests, and you see a lot of interesting return characters. Patrick Stewart is Dr. Professor X. Dr. X, I almost called him. Professor X. John Krasinski as Reed Richards.
The ultimate fan casting.
And Lashana Lynch plays Captain Marvel. This in the Earth, I think it's 838 is the grouping. This is a different universe. And Hallie Atwell as Captain Carter, all of them get brutally murdered. It's a great sequence.
And Anthony Mount as Black Bolt. Shout out to Inhumans.
Yes. totally fine. I enjoyed those.
Yeah, it was fine.
The movie's good. I saw it again after actually the second. I saw it again. I really enjoy it. I think it's like good. It's like legitimately a good movie.
Yeah, and then the mid-credits with Charlize Theron's introduction.
Right.
As Clea. The best part of that was at my screening, after she showed up there, everyone pulled out their phones and started Googling, like, who is she playing?
It's definitely like the perfect Marvel cameo. You're like, why is this major star in this movie?
And like, who is she playing? Because it's not a mainstream character.
I mean, it is honestly a lot like the Harry Styles reveal in Eternals.
Yeah, Eros. Yeah.
Which again is another thing where it's like, are they ever going to pay this stuff off? They don't actually have to. They could just keep like littering these things in and like,
yeah, maybe, and like they can do whatever they want because it's the multiverse now. So right. They can come back to it whenever.
True. That's what I liked about the movie, actually. While you needed to have like an intense knowledge of all the Marvel stuff, because like, imagine watching Doctor Strange without having watched WandaVision. You'd be like, who are these boys? What is going on?
I mean, you can figure out that it's her kids.
You can figure it out. But I mean, I do think you needed to watch the show to have like a little bit of like awareness of what was going on.
I think if you watch the show, you understand her motivations more. But I think you can totally just have someone give you a quick download of.
Yeah, well, you'd have to know it. Like, that's what I mean. You couldn't just you'd have to have somebody like be like, here's what happened on WandaVision, I think.
Well, yeah, but I don't know why you would, if you have not seen any Marvel movie or show, I don't know why you would go.
You've been in a coma, Joyce, for 3 years and you just woke up and were like, the first thing I got to do is see Doctor Strange.
I mean, I would, but like, that's also on me for being in a coma for 3 years. So I'm not going to blame anyone for being lost. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know why people like if they don't follow this stuff, I don't know why you get angry.
It's true.
If you can't keep track of what's going on.
Totally. So I enjoy the movie. I'll be curious to see how, what they do with, I guess the one thing I'm curious about with this latest iteration of Marvel is feel like they're setting up the multiverse, but it doesn't feel like it's building towards anything like collective.
Yeah. There's no end game. There's no thing. Yeah. I think, well, that was always the thing right after Endgame, because it was like, that chapter is over. So now it's Phase 4, and like the old guard is, except for Thor, really is gone. And I think, you know, they obviously originally planned on having Black Panther be one of, you know, the people filling those the elder statesman roles. I think as Doctor Strange is another, but that's had to change. And then they've launched these shows, and which are great for some of their supporting characters, right? And it's had an impact on the universe at large, some of them. But yeah, I don't know where they're heading.
Yeah. I mean, there was like talk that it was going to be like Kang the Conqueror, right? Like that he's like the next Thanos, but they haven't really done anything with him beyond Loki.
Well, Kang is going to be an Ant-Man.
Right. And so that means he could show up conceivably as like a post-credits character in Thor or Black Panther 2, I guess, before Ant-Man, right? Because those come out next.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man is February. So Thor is July. I think Black Panther is November. And then Ant-Man is
February. Ant-Man and Captain Marvel sequel swap dates. So right. Ant-Man is February. So yeah, and then we still have there more shows.
So next up like is Miss Marvel.
This morning I remembered She-Hulk.
Miss Marvel is first, and then I think She-Hulk is next, though they didn't announce that yet.
Yeah, there's no date for that. So I don't know. And then like they're doing Loki season 2. That's why it's a drama.
That I'm excited for. I love Loki.
Yes.
Maybe season 2 will get some Emmy love choice.
It should win. So we should have Nick win score and Natalie Holt can win main title theme for Loki.
Love that.
There you go.
We did it. All right, Joyce, this is fun. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Bye.
For all things Hollywood competition and award season, head to goldderby.com and follow us on social media at goldderby.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.